Welcome to episode 65 of the Thrash Report. This is for October 19th, 2021. My name is Chris, and joining me, my partner in crime, my co-host, Jim Osborne. Jim, what's going on, man?
Live from New York, it's Extinction AD.
That was loud as fuck in my ear.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, those voices you hear, we got Tom and Rick from Extinction AD. How you doing, guys?
Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us, man. I'm psyched that we're able to finally match up some times and get to hang out a bit and talk some slack.
Awesome. We definitely can talk some slack.
I love slack talking.
Yeah. So what's going on out in New York?
Oh, it's getting fucking cold. All right. Yeah. Already.
Dude, I do not like that. It was up until 2 or 3 days ago, we were still in the middle of summer. The past couple of days, waking up to go to work or whatever the crap, it's the high 40s, which I know is no big deal to you guys, but the high 40s is like 70 degrees colder than I ever want it to be.
Yeah, same thing here, a little bit colder than you guys, but yeah, it's starting to cool off a little bit. That's fine with me. I think fall's the best time of the year.
No, I haven't even taken socks out yet. I'm still in summer shit, man.
He's running around in flip-flops.
I am. They're right there.
It's all good, awesome, man.
All right, well, I think we'll get some housekeeping items out of the way first. We always have guests on and ask them the same question. How did you get into metal? So, Rick, why don't you give us yours?
You know, I don't remember ever not being into metal. My first favorite band was Def Leppard, which I know is like, not metal. But in 1983, when I was 3 years old, Def Leppard was fucking metal. You know, their first handful of albums are still metal to me, even if they're more the pop side. But I personally don't really remember a time where I didn't at least like metal bands. You know, even when I was like, I didn't know the difference between hard rock and metal and, you know, pop rock. Mm-hmm. But there was never a time where I wasn't into metal in some way, shape, or form.
Nice. Yeah, and Def Leppard's been a common answer, so you're not alone.
Yeah, I was a huge huge Def Leppard fan, right? It started with High and Dry, and then getting through On Through the Night, I wasn't really into it, but then once I got into Pyromania, it was like I would wear that cassette out, you know.
That was my first favorite album, Pyromania. Awesome. Dude, awesome. I remember on Rock of Ages, I had hit the record button by accident one time, and you know, if the tabs covered over, you can't record music over there, but what you can do is put a glitch in the tape. So it was like Rock of Ages. And got going again. And I was so bummed because it was the mid 80s. It wasn't like, you know, if you're a 6 year old, you can't go out and buy another cassette. So it wasn't until like the mid 90s when I finally got it on, compact disc recordable ripped off of Soulseek or something. And I was able to listen to Rock of Ages without that fucking jumping it again.
That's awesome. Like one of those things you still hear in your head every time you hear the song now.
Yep. Dude, every single time.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of like, no matter what, when you're hearing to that one Iron Maiden track, you're always like, you think you're going to hear Bruce say, "Scream for me, Long Beach." That's awesome.
What about you? What about you, Tom? What say you?
Oh, I have my dad to thank, man. I was, for whatever reason, I really got into Stray Cats when I was little.
Yeah, man. Brian Setzer. Brian Setzer Orchestra, man.
I don't know how that happened. I can't really blame my dad for that, but four, maybe five years old, I remember him saying, "Check this out," and he gave me Kill 'Em All.
Wow.
And that was like the that was the spark.
That's great. So, I don't know what father wouldn't give their child something that says "Kill 'Em All."
My dad's a weird motherfucking dude. But
I say that with all respect, of course.
That's probably one of the least weird things he's ever done.
Yo, so this last tour, we actually put Stray Cats on for like 2 songs. And dude,
really?
So we put Stray Cat Strut on first, and that's fine. Yeah. What was that second song? Sexy 16 or something? And we're like, yo, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
The whole time, you know, he's like slithering down the road talking about this 16-year-old chick. And like, I know it was the 80s and he wanted it to be the 50s, but dude, it could have been the 1850s. And let's be honest, that's not fucking okay.
No.
Was wow. On our radar until like last week.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
It's really fucking bonkers.
It was the 80s and Winger was out there doing his thing, so he's fucking weird too, I guess.
And Gene Simmons? Dude, what is with these people? Just, you know what's crazy about talking about everybody singing about 16-year-olds? I just found out 2 days ago, Apollonia, the first chick that Michael Corleone marries in The Godfather 1, in real life, that actress was 16 years old.
No way.
16 fucking years old. She gets naked in that movie.
No way.
Dude.
Wow.
So I've seen The Godfather 1.5 million times. And I don't know what happened. I was like, I got to watch these movies again. So I watched them again. I was listening to this podcast called The Rewatchables. And they're talking about it. And they revealed that the chick who plays Apollonia was 16
years
old.
That's crazy. Didn't
it's too young to die.
I mean, that's why they blew her up for getting in the car. They're like, yo, you are not allowed to
drive. Didn't
you're a liability.
I was gonna say Mila Kunis, right? Ashton Kutcher's, I don't know, are they married now? I don't know. But the chick from the 70s show, right, went on to all these amazing movies and shit. I heard that like her to get in just to audition, she had to lie like how old she was. And when she actually started on the 70s show, she was only 16.
At least she was playing a high school student at the time.
Yeah. But it was like, but it was still kind of like, oh, they're seniors or something. I don't know. But
I heard that, I heard that too. She did have to lie to get in that.
That's crazy.
That's cool. I've never seen The Godfather. So should I leave or?
You've probably seen the third one then, right?
I've never seen any of them.
I've seen them all. You haven't seen any? That's crazy.
You're crazy. No.
It's been a long time. I'm going to have to rewatch. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Stick to the first two.
You know what? I won't fight to the death on this. I won't even fight for more than 2 rounds on this. And I'm not saying it's up there. I am not saying that. But what I am saying is the third part, Godfather 3, isn't as bad as everybody else thinks. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
It's got some Saint Anger to it.
Dude, I'll take it over Saint Anger.
Oh, my Godfather 3 story, I don't think I've told it here, but I watched it back in college, you know, back in VHS. And I went out and I rented it. And, you know, it's so long, it came on 2 tapes.
Yeah.
So I started watching it, and then it ended. And, like, the dude just fell out of a chair and died. Like, what's the next movie going to be? Some asshole switched the tape, so I watched the second half of it before the first half.
Oh.
Well, maybe that's why I'm not a big fan of it. I got a little confused, but yeah. All right. What are we talking about again?
I'm talking about my dad.
That's right.
Oh, that's it. He gave me Kill 'Em All. That's how we got in the middle.
Awesome. Rick, I was going to ask you how old you are, because I've seen different stories that you're anywhere from 50 to 75. But you already answered that.
Should I solve the mystery or just let it go?
You already said it, that you got something when you were 3. So.
Well, and being the fact that you made a cassette tape reference and recording, I mean, yeah, my kids wouldn't know what that is.
No, I'm old as hell. I'm the oldest one in the band by like a couple of decades.
Yeah, that's true.
So I figured we were about the same age, and then I saw that somewhere someone said you were 50, and I'm like, well, you know, he's healthy, works out, eats right, he's could be 50 and look that young. And then I saw a picture of, I don't know if it's you and a sister and friend or something, like when you were real young in a Pantera shirt, and like, there's no way he's 50 if he's that young wearing that shirt.
Now, this August I turned 41.
Okay,
all right, I got you by a year. All right, moving along.
We put that to bed. We now know the answer. All right, thank you.
He is 16.
I didn't know that was an internet mystery.
The mystery has been solved.
Yeah. All right, let's get down to the band. So Extinction AD, can you give us maybe a quick little history and where you came from and influences and what you got coming up?
I will start, and then Tom, then I'll let you finish.
Okay, Sensei.
I'll make a long story short. A handful of us, we played in bands together for years. A whole bunch of us were doing This Is Hell for a while. I got burnt out on it. Want to do something new, yada, yada. We started Extinction AD. We got off to a little bit of a slow start as far as our first tour and releasing our first EP. It took about a year to really get the ball rolling. And, you know, we put out an EP and two full lengths on Good Fight Music. Did a handful of tours. Toured with Havoc, toured with Unearth. We toured with Havoc a handful of times. And, you know, like any band, but especially a band with older people in it, you know, you kind of have to go, or we had to go through, you know, some replacements here and there until we found the actual solid lineup of everybody on the same page, which, you know, we still struggle with to this day. But once Pete Vandenberg, our original bass player, left the band, you know, Tom had played in This Is Hell with us on and off and was kind of like our unofficial fifth member, and him and Pete kind of just switched spots, where Pete became our unofficial fifth member, you know, still is involved in the decision making with the band and is heavily involved in you know, contributing music and such. But Tom is now, you know, the bass player and the next, you know, the right hand man of the band. You fill it in from there. You complete the story, Tom.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I'd say that we're the, I'll be the right hand man to your left hand.
Left hand, yeah.
Anyway, Cincy. Actually, when the band started, I was I currently playing with This Is Hell when that kind of fizzled?
On and off, because
on and off, right?
The last tour that This Is Hell did was with Pete on bass.
Hatebreed? Was that a Hatebreed tour?
Yeah, it was a Hatebreed, yeah. Every Time I Die tour, which should have been the greatest tour. And it was okay, but it was kind of the realization point for me, where like, yeah, you know, I'm kind of over this. I'm burnt out as fuck on it. You know, I want to do something different. And that's where Extinction AD, you know, really started to come to fruition, as opposed to just an idea of, hey, maybe I want to do something different and start fresh, to, hey, once this tour is over, once this, all the last This Is Hell shows we have booked are played, I want to chill out for a bit.
Got it. And was that around like the 2013 time frame, or when was it?
Yeah, it was June, the middle of June was the last This Is Hell show as far as being the main thing. This Is Hell never broke up. We never will break up. There's no reason to. But because we can go 5 years and not do anything and then, you know, get back to it and play some shows if we want. And we've done that. But, you know, Extinction AD has been the top priority. And we've been, you know, what I like to think is chugging along and on our, you know, steady incline. And over the past year or so, we've, you know, made some changes and solidified some stuff here and there. And we're kind of like fucking really going for it right now. You know, we got tons of tours coming up. We have our new EP coming up. We're in the middle of finishing up our next full length.
Nice.
We're no longer with Good Fight Music, and now we're with Unique Leader Records. So we're, you know, We were on like 9.5 before, and now we're on like fucking 11.5.
Nice.
Very cool. Yeah, so your new EP coming out, the Chaos, Collusion, Carnage, and Propaganda, November 5th, and Chaos has been released, and we've been hearing it a lot on Liquid Metal.
So. Which is really cool, man. That was something that, you know, you hope that people give a shit and care, mm-hmm. especially, you know, like a radio programmer, or, you know, anybody on the internet, you know, like you guys, like podcasts, and even just, you know, I don't want to say fans, people who fucking like music, you know, mm-hmm. like it enough to give it a spin and then tell their friend about it and share mm-hmm. it on, you know, social media or just fucking, you know, electronic mail or whatever the fuck. all that shit is so cool. And the fact that we got into rotation on Liquid Metal and people yeah. are taking pictures of their car, like their fucking car stereo, and sending it to us. And the thing is, that stuff kind of perpetuates itself. You know, we've had other, not just internet radio shows, but still in the studio, antenna, radio signal, radio shows playing Chaos now. And I'm sure it's like, hey, if it's on Sirius, let me give this a spin and, you know, put it into rotation. And that's rad, man. That's something that, you know, you always hope for, but I never expect. I don't expect anything except, you know, to be fucking frustrated and pissed off by dumb shit people say to me all the time.
I don't see you as an angry person.
Yo, I'm not even, but I'm, I don't even want to say I'm easily frustrated, but I'm not afraid to, you know, let it out when I'm frustrated.
I've seen some of the tweets.
You can be a little grumpy here and there.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. It comes with the age.
Yeah. When you've been around as long as you.
Yeah, I got to say Chaos. I mean, for what's a minute 51, it's a beast the whole way through. I mean, just start to finish. And it's shreds right away. It's a great tune.
Yeah, man. And musically, I think that might be start to finish the first song that Ian, our lead guitar player, just wrote. No editing, no contribution from anybody else musically, where he just wrote this song and demoed it and sent it to us. And everybody was like, dude, that's a fucking ripper. You know, not one thing needed to be changed.
Nice.
So it was cool. You know, writing new stuff is really, it's like one of the most fun things about being in a band. But also when you are planning to release something and record something and then release it, and you actually have a set plan before that music is written, it's so stressful. So the fact that Ian was very, you know, he'd been saying he'd want to write more. Like, dude, we all would love for him to do that so we could do less. he wrote that song, and he wrote Collusion musically, and they're both bangers. So it was real fun having a project that we conceptualized before we had the music. This is the first time that's ever happened with this band. And with Ian wanting to write, say, hey, write some shit, we'll throw it together. And, you know, I might be jumping the gun a little bit, but, you know, we talk about the EP. We've been playing Propaganda, the Sepultura song, for a little while, and then we say, hey, let's stop playing this live, even though it was so much fun. Like, hey, before we stop playing it live, let's fucking record it. And there's a whole story about why we decided to do that. And then I wrote Carnage, and, you know, we recorded all that shit. We were ready to go. So let me throw some vocals on, and we're done. And that was something we were going to release this EP initially just on our own, because we're in the middle of a pandemic and no one's touring. There's no shows to play. There's fucking nothing to do except for, you know, how many times can you post on Facebook? Hey guys, we're still in the pandemic. Like, yeah, isn't X sick?
Right.
So I was like, you know, let's fucking use this time and write something new. So we did that, and we liked this EP so much. We're like, yo, we're no longer on Good Fight. Let's shop this around. So we sent it to, four handfuls of labels and spoke to four handfuls of labels, and wound up locking down a deal with Unique Leader, which was actually the easiest process out of all the other labels we spoke to, as well as what fit us the best.
That's so awesome.
Like, hey, you know what? Yeah. We're going to do, you know, move forward with like records and stuff. We have this EP done. they're like, let's just put this EP out before we even do this full length. So, hey, here it is. Let's fucking go for it.
Awesome. And you released something last year too, like a punk cover EP, didn't you?
Yeah, and that was when the pandemic first started, and it was like, yo, let's do something. Because even though it was only, what, 3 or 4 months in, after going full bore for like 20 years of touring and writing and recording and then being stuck at home for 3 or 4 months, it felt like 1,000 years. So I was like, let's do something nice and quick. And, you know, I've always wanted to do something like that with this band. So it was kind of like, hey, guys, we're going to do this. And I don't want to say I forced everyone to do it. Tom, did I force everyone to do that?
Or... Yeah. Yeah, that was you for sure.
So I said, hey, these are the songs that we'll do. And I kind of Extinction AD'd them a bit and threw it together real quick and put it on the internet. And it was a fun thing for about a week. And then everyone forgot about it.
Yeah, the cool thing about the EP, though, is like with the songs that Ian wrote and Carnage, they're really, I don't want to say they're wildly different, but they are more in line with the record, the full length that's going to come out. And it's cool, like a teaser for those songs. The material is going to be much more in line with the EP. So cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And that's November 5th, so it's right around the corner.
Creeping up real quick.
Yeah.
Yep, and then you got a November 6th, you've got a show you're playing. It's kind of a release party, right?
Yeah, we're playing at our home venue for the most part. I mean, I kind of feel like we have two. AMH, Amityville Music Hall, is in Amityville, which, you know, Amityville Horror House and all that shit. Mm-hmm. It's a direct shot south of where I live, and that's kind of the venue for underground heavy music on Long Island. There's also St. Vitus in Brooklyn, which is, you know, essentially just a shot west for us. And for a little while, I felt like that was more of our home venue. But recently, and by recently, I mean, you know, the past 2 years or so, it seems like AMH has really become our home venue. So it was great that we're able to set this show up November 6th, or the day after the record will hit the streets. And spoiler for everyone, the day that the record comes out, we're also going to have a video premiering for Collusion, which was a lot of fun to record. I think everyone will get a good kick out of it.
Sweet. And
November 6th, yeah, we're playing Amityville Music Hall, where the record release show, we're headlining, and we have a crazy lineup with Dying Wish, Lich King.
Oh, cool.
Touring bands that are polar opposite as far as the spectrum of metal go. But two bands that I think are super, super cool. And then we also have Lost Becomes, which is a metal band from Long Island, and Electrocutioner, who is a newer thrash metal band.
It's a great name.
So, and they're a great band. I mean, it's four great bands and us. So I think it's going to be a rad show. Hopefully people show up and stomp each other the fuck along.
Sell That's some awesome.
Contact discs and have a good time.
Right on.
Speaking of Lich King, I think I saw one of their members just moved to our area, up here in Minneapolis.
Yeah, that's crazy. We were chatting about that when we were trying to get them on this show, saying like, yo, we got to fly at least one of our members out. So let us see if we could get some other shows booked around it. So when this show came up, it was them being a part of it kind of depended on whether they could book shows the Friday and the Saturday to really make it worth their while. And they were able to put that together. They're playing a home show. They haven't played Massachusetts in quite a while. So, it's a full weekend of shows for them. It's a busy weekend for us. Dying Wish is starting a giant tour the next day in New York City. And like I said, the two other bands from Long Island are, again, I don't want to say polar opposites, but very different sounding bands from each other. And they're up and coming and making some noise at home. So to me, it's like an all-star show.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great. And I definitely got to check them out. And then you mentioned it a little earlier, you're going on a tour with Exorder, Take Offense, and Plague Ears.
Tom, you talk about that.
Yeah, that's also coming right up around the corner. What's our kickoff date, Rick?
November 24th.
Right after Thanksgiving.
Well, we played the day before Thanksgiving.
The day before Thanksgiving. Yeah, and then we leave the day after Thanksgiving to not come home for a month and go on tour with Exhorter, which is really fucking cool.
That's awesome.
Yep.
We did a quick little run with Plague Ears on that last tour we did, and those guys are real cool. Stoked to go with them too.
Mm-hmm.
We're hitting a lot of cool spots for this tour too, which is, you know, we'll be in some warm weather for December. So,
oh, the best.
Right? That's awesome.
Can I be the guy that says, how come you're not coming to my area?
Right? I know.
Shit.
Why don't you come to the frigid Midwest up here? Come on.
You know why? We're not afraid of it. It's just the way the tour was booked. You know, to be honest, I mean, Jim, you and I have spoken about this, and we spoke about this on Tom more specifically on our YouTube show. A lot of these underdog cities, man, are these spots, you know, more fun. It doesn't matter if it's less people or if it's a little bit out of the way, you know, it's all about if people come to the show and want to get fucking wild and have a good time. And, you know, you guys know, man, La Crosse is a highlight for us.
Yeah. That last show we played there was ridiculous.
That's awesome.
On so many levels.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Just to get there on its own and then to get inside.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, that was a fun show. A lot of wackadoodles there. A lot of wackos in your town.
Yep, I was going to mention that on your podcast. It's go time, you assholes. Thanks for the shout out to myself, the Thrash Report, and La Crosse and the Warehouse. That was really cool to hear.
Yeah.
I think we got a comment from, like, hey, I think you're talking about Metal Pat with the
yep.
He's my brother.
I saw that, yep.
Oh, funny.
Yep, he's a cool dude. You got the world record for headbanging, like 35 minutes.
Man, that show was real fun. And that guy, is that true? 35 minute headbanging?
Yep.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, check it out on Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's Metal Pat Callen. Yep, it's done right at the warehouse.
He's so metal. That's awesome.
Yep. And yeah, you're talking about the adventure getting there. I remember I had never heard of you guys until I saw that you're going to be playing in La Crosse. So I'm like, well, check these guys out. You know, I saw the picture and the name, like, that's pretty metal. So I checked it out. I forget what song it was, but I was hooked instantly. And like, these dudes are coming to my town. So I started listening and watching your videos and stuff and just kept getting pumped. And then started following you guys on Twitter. And then what was it? The Havoc and Jungle Rot tour you're on. You're on your way home, and the day before, the night before, the morning of, your van broke down or something.
That's what happens when you let the children drive.
Oh, no.
Their two dads wanted to get a little sleep, and then the van was broken. So I think that was the first show after Havoc Jungle Rot on the way home.
Yeah, because I remember you're giving like hourly updates on where you were, and like, oh, they're getting closer. They might make it.
Yeah, we were stuck in Nebraska for hours. And then finally got the van going, thanks to some guy. But showed up, and there was, you know, 20 people ready to help us move our stuff up those stairs. So
yeah, that was awesome. Yep, that was good.
I've heard stories about the stairs.
They're very steep and long.
I'll get there one of these days. Because when Jim, say, he's in La Crosse, I'm in north of Minneapolis. So, okay, we got to get you here. Got to get you to Minneapolis, man.
When was the last time we were in Minneapolis? That was with the Agony Reigns show.
That might have been right before.
But I don't. Was that Havoc and Jungle Rot, Tom?
That sounds right. I think that was just a day or two before La Crosse.
Yeah, I think that was, again, that was probably before I knew you guys, because Jim's the one that turned me on to you guys. So yeah.
What's the name of the venue there?
Oh man, there's, I mean, especially now that things are opening up. I mean, there's the Skyway, Fillmore.
Might have been Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
That's what it was. Yeah, that was Havoc Jungle Rot.
First Avenue. Yeah.
Yeah, great place. And Agony Reigns, killer band. They're coming out with some new tunes a couple weeks too.
Yeah, yeah, and that was a great show. There was a lot of kids and same thing. Lots of crazy, almost Canadians,
right? almost. So let me talk a little bit about. So where did this? First of all, I think they're hilarious. These it's go time, you assholes. Where did this come from? I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's just goofy. It's cool. I like it.
Well, I'm addicted to caffeine. I mean, I like to think that I'm pretty good as far as managing like my vices and such. But, you know, caffeine, I you know, so.
Still legal in all 50 states.
Just yeah, saying. Right. Yeah. And Tom, if I remember correctly, you weren't really like a big energy drink guy. And I kind of, you know, peer pressured you into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ian is the opposite of me, where he just dives into all of his vices. You know, so we're a very energy drink based band. But Tom and I started, I think this might have been around the European tour.
Yeah, it was in England.
We decided, hey, before each set, because we're always tired because we're both in our 50s, like, hey, let's grab Red Bull and drink a Red Bull together. And that turned into, hey, let's do Predator, you son of a bitch, with
Dylan. Yeah.
Let's do it with Red Bulls instead. And that turned into, instead of a one-time joke, an everyday joke, which turned into every day taking a picture and like putting it on the internet with flexing with Red Bulls, like regular.
It's really a way for us to show off our fucking biceps on the internet.
Guns. And, you know, I just started writing like, hey, it's go time and whatever. And then I think one time, I think, Tom, you just, we threw in a, you jerks.
It's go time. Yeah.
It's go time, you assholes. And that turned into, it's go time, you asshole, which, Tom, that was you taking the control out of it. And that just stuck because it's like, you know, a convoluted joke that kind of makes sense, but not really. Like, yeah. That's like our signature vernacular. Hey, so that became a thing, and we were bullshitting in the group chat about something serious, which lasted for, you know, I would say at most 35 seconds, and evolved into 30 minutes of nonsense. And then I think it was Ian's idea as a joke saying, hey, instead of playing music or anything, why don't we just start a blog that's an energy drink review site? And instead of being like, haha, let's move on, it was like, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's actually do that and make it a YouTube show. And then really quickly, it was throwing out ideas. Okay, we could do this. We could do that. We could do this. And, you know, it turned from a joke to a serious, completed concept of what you see every other Thursday now.
Which is not very serious.
It's not very serious.
In about 10 minutes. And then we sorted it out, and there it is.
Right on. So I do fancy my energy drinks. What is that in all your energy drinks that you've tried? Like, what is that one that you would still go back to? What is your favorite?
Oh, there's many favorites, right?
Let's say you had to pick one.
I drink a cherry limeade probably every Monday.
Yeah. Okay.
Cherry limeade. Is that Bang?
No, the Rain. The cherry limeade.
Oh, Rain. Okay. Yep. Rain. Yep.
Yeah. I'll do that every Monday. We did cocaine. not real cocaine, but we did cocaine, the energy drink.
Oh, a poser.
Oh, dude, it was, this is some fucking weird shit. Pete found this on the internet somewhere, and it, you know, like, I just sent them a picture of like the actual reveal on the show because it's so funny. We all like kind of take a second.
Like, what?
And
the
you can
hell?
See us all like the wheels were turning, and we all went, oh, yeah. It's really funny.
A lot of good puns on that episode.
So can I ask you, this came out, I think I asked Jim when we first discovered the show, it's go time, you assholes. Does it count? Because I love my Starbucks triple shot. Right, triple shot, zero sugar, espresso. Does that count as an energy drink? I mean, it's coffee, but.
It depends on who you, if you ask me, I say yes. If you ask Rick, I don't know.
I also say yes.
Okay.
If it fucks you up and gets you go timing asshole, then yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny too? I was just thinking is to go back to that's also still like our like pre-show like ritual, like we'll you know hang out or do whatever, and then it's we're so stupid. Like now we go like, hey, do you want an asshole now or later? We don't even. It's just do you want an asshole?
That's awesome. Very cool. So, are you a coffee guy? Either of you? Do you drink Death Wish coffee?
I drink every coffee that ever gets put around me.
Death Wish, the world's strongest coffee. It's so good, so smooth. If you're a coffee guy, it's really good.
I wouldn't drink coffee unless somebody gave me a handful of $100 bills.
Okay, tell me how you really feel.
I'm with Rick on this one. I don't do coffee.
Yep, it's all good.
You guys are weird.
You're fucking weird.
I'm that nerd that actually got into coffee relatively later, like when I was in college. Cause you know what? All of us nerds, we would go to like the 24-hour Perkins restaurant and play Magic the Gathering. That's how nerdy we were, right? We'd listen to metal and play Magic cards.
That is pretty nerdy.
And we drank pots and pots of coffee, man.
I'm with you on the coffee part, bro.
Did you hear how the hipster burnt his lip? He was the first person to think the coffee was cool.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Wow.
Oh, man.
You can use that one. So the term runks or sunks, is that a XAD thing or?
Jesus.
You know what? This must have been like legitimately 2.5 decades ago. One day I decided, hey, you know what's funny? Adding an N or an M into the middle of words. And it's gone like in and out of favor with me. And it wasn't really that long ago, maybe about a year or two ago, where, you know, just, oh man, that rocks. And I was like, you know what? I'm sick of hearing people say that shit. And I'm sick of hearing myself say it or typing it. So I was like, ah, fuck it. I added like, oh man, that runks. And then real quick, that turned into runks. And then, you know, that was a fun thing until one of my friends who steals everything that is an inside joke that he doesn't get started saying it. So then it kind of fell out of favor. But then when we were, you know, talking about stuff that fucking rocks or really blows, we're like, well, does this runks or sunks? And it, you know, said once, stuck.
Nice.
All it took was one time.
Big runkage.
You know, you come up with something and it's, you know, could be like on a scale of 1 to 10, it's funny at like a 3. And most people, and I'll even agree, other people, if they say something that's at a 3, I don't want to hear them say it ever again because it was only a 3. It's not funny enough to say it ever again. But I feel like if I'm saying something that is a 3, I'm like, I could either drop this now or just say it an obnoxiously amount of times that it gets worse and it's so bad that it becomes the funniest thing. And then it's not even funny. It just becomes part of our vernacular.
Yeah.
And again, that's just essentially describes the humor start to bottom in Extinction AD.
Much 40% of our vocabulary is like shit that is just like only the two idiots sitting next to you would understand. And it's like,
and now you're putting it out there for everybody every week.
Yeah, that's about 40% of the vernacular. The 30% is a year and a half in the life of Metallica quotes. I would say 20% is trash talking our friend Travis, whether he's there or not. And the other 10% is, you know, some serious stuff.
Speaking of Metallica quotes, when you came to La Crosse, I immediately knew you were a Metallica fan because what you'd say between songs, like, look over there, that's Tom. He's going to show you what the fuck to do.
Okay, Dude, sensei?
I, I feel like we may have even watched A Year and a Half while driving on the way to that show. And we may have even discussed that we were going to speak exclusively at that show.
That's awesome.
Because yeah, you did do singing along, dancing along,
whatever the fuck
along.
Doing something the doing fuck something. Along.
Oh, God, that was awesome. That is great.
Yeah, it's actually gross how much we watched that movie.
Yeah, this is a safe space. It's okay.
Yep.
Did you guys watch the extras from that?
I don't think I did.
No.
Ricky, did you watch it?
Yeah, yeah. They just put them on YouTube, but it's essentially one of the discs in that giant, giant box set of the Black Album. It's just like outtakes from the studio,
sweet.
The Black Album studio, outtakes from the Black Album tour that didn't make it into the video. And then I don't know if this was just on YouTube or this is on YouTube from the box set also, but there's Ross Halfin's camcorder footage from the Justice tour.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And, you know, cool. Some of it or a lot of it is throwaway shit. But if you're like a fucking obsessed Metallica nerd, like the two of us.
Four.
Yep.
It's the four. No, it's like, you know, finding a photo album of, you know, your fucking kids when you're old that you don't remember.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But it's like even better than that.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I had so much fun watching that shit, man.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today, man. It was awesome.
Thanks for having us, man. I'm sorry if I just hogged the show. I drank a Midnight Cherry C4 two hours ago, did two personal training sessions, and then ran up here to do this. So I'm caffeinated as hell right now.
It's a blast, man. Thank you so much. I want to thank everyone for listening as well. Thank you to the members in the live chat on YouTube as well. Again, you can get archives for all of our shows and show notes at thrashreport.com. You can hit us up on social. You can find all of our social channels at thrashreport.com. We'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and send us an email at thrashreport@gmail.com. Fair enough. I think that was fair. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for coming on, guys.